So in the Q&R session yesterday afternoon, a couple of you mentioned how during the day you'd experience some times of feeling more fully present and relaxed and at ease, and how pleasant that experience was. And then some of you said or implied that, but that wasn't real meditation, and that you should have been something else that was real meditation. So just want to highlight that the Pali word for meditation is bhavana. And as I said the other night, that literally means cultivation. So with that understanding, we can see that every moment of this retreat is an opportunity to cultivate skillful mind state and to release unskillful ones. So in those examples that some of you brought up yesterday, my interpretation of what you described, there were beneficial mind states such as calm and ease and alertness and interest and energy and openness and balance and steadiness and so on. Does that feel accurate? Emmy or Haiti?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so those experiences happen. And instead of thinking them as not real meditation, we can experience them actually as a result of the formal sitting and walking practice that we've been doing, and also as a support for the deepening of our insight in the future. And so both of those examples are pointing to the importance of continuity of mindfulness through everything that we're doing. And in fact, in terms of the Noble Eightfold Path, what makes wise mindfulness wise is that it's continuous through everything we do during the day. Whether we're sitting or standing or walking or eating or going to the bathroom. In fact, in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha specifically names being mindful of urinating and defecating. So seriously, fold that into your practice. It's pretty clear that everything is an opportunity to refine our sati and samadhi. There's a very common tendency, though, most of us have, to think of the sitting practice as being the real deal, the most important. So we try very hard to stay present in the sitting. And then the walking, yeah, it's good, but we don't make quite as much effort. We might take that opportunity to go for a bit of a wander or have a cup of tea or go back to our rooms for a bit of a nap. And then in terms of all the rest of the retreat, getting dressed and showering and eating and doing our mindfulness tasks, so that's all just sort of filler that we try to get through quickly so that we can get back to the real practice. But given that wise mindfulness is defined as unremitting mindfulness, and unremitting meaning continuously continuous, we want to maintain that through the whole day. Now perhaps when you hear that, there might be a sense of, oh, that sounds exhausting. But this is where we need wise effort. Because if we're bringing wise effort to this continuity of mindfulness, it actually takes less effort than the kind of stop-start mindfulness most of us engage in. So some of you are familiar with the Burmese teacher Sayadaw Utejaniya, and he really makes that point that when mindfulness is practiced in the right way, it doesn't require a lot of effort. So he demonstrates this very directly through the process of the two hands touching. So we can try that now. Some of you might be familiar with it. You can just bring your hands up like this. And then slowly bring them together until the palms are touching. And now that your palms are touching, do you know that? Can you sense that? Yes? Everyone feel that? How much effort does that take? Very little. but metaphorically, for myself at least, often I'd be like touching, touching, touching. So we can notice in terms of effort. You can release your hands now just to notice, am I just having that light, continuous, sustainable effort of mindfulness? So continuity of sati is the key, and it also strengthens samadhi. And one very powerful support for this, as I said last night, is slowing down. Remembering the slower you go, the more you'll know. So if we're zooming along and we in the car, we don't notice that much. But if we slow down, or even better, get out of the car and walk, then much more information becomes available to us. So I won't be giving out speeding tickets, but I do encourage you to begin slowing down. Not into a forced, rigid, mechanical slowness, but just maybe 10% less speed than you might normally. And then 20%, 30%. And the benefit of this is that when we realize that we're rushing, it's a feedback mechanism, and we can just stop and notice what is pushing here. So slowing down supports sati and samadhi. And we have that metaphor of the jar of muddy pond water. So if we think of the mind as being like a jar of muddy pond water, if we keep giving that jar a shake, then all the sediment keeps stirred up and the water stays cloudy. But if we just put the jar aside and don't agitate it, then very naturally the sediment settles and we end up with clarity. So when we get caught up though in things like checking our phones or getting overly busy in our work tasks or having a quick chat to people or getting involved in even creative projects like taking photographs and so on, all of that just agitates the mind and stirs up the sediment. So instead we practice that simplicity, relinquishment. And that helps us to drop deeper into the simplicity, the stillness, the silence. And because we're all doing this together, what each of us do helps the rest of us. So just one caveat. We don't want this slowing down to become oppressive, as if the mindfulness judge is watching your every move. So keeping in mind the mantra of exploring and enjoying, seeing if you can approach this with lightness. And if you do accidentally let a door slam, that's okay. And if you drop your plate in the middle of the dining room, which I have done, that's also okay. So we want to bring humor, lightness to the experience. All of it helps to strengthen kindness and self-compassion too.